If I could call forward Father James to...
As it was crossing a rickety bridge, and when they finally got to the opposite side of the bridge, didn't the flea say to the elephant, "We really shook up that bridge"? Well, I feel a bit like the flea on the back of the elephants, the giants, being asked to give a brief summary of what has been said. Hearing Father Peter Damien speak, who taught me theology 35, 40 years ago, brought back memories that fed my intuitive cognition. And all I could think of was that we were seeing a modern-day PDF file. I got that line from Father Martin behind the camera. Anyway, in our first night, Father Ford of the Congregation of the Holy Cross, in trying to emphasize Cardinal Newman's reasonable approach to faith and stressing that the audience to which he was addressing his remarks, he was walking a tightrope between the evangelicals and their fideism and the secularists, the modern day liberals of Victorian Britain, and their rejection, their agnosticism. So Newman's aim was for that via media between the evidentialists who gave supremacy to reason and the evangelicals who said that faith was impenetrable to reason. Father Ford drew for us the three dimensions of the inferential process leading to a decision of faith. The question, the assembling of the data, and the conclusions that that leads to. This inferential process in Newman becomes a paradigm then for how the mind operates in religious matters. He concluded by speaking to us about the illative sense as an optic on reality that combines both the aspect of an inborn innate gift and the aspect of personal experience. And he used the motto of Bishop St. Francis de Sales and Blessed Cardinal Newman, cor ad cor loquitur, as an expression of that illative sense. Moving on to a consideration of Blessed John Duns Scotus, Professor Noon put his emphasis on the intuitive cognition as a simple awareness of the presence and existence of something here and now, intuitive cognition leading us to see the thisness, the hic caetas, and the process of simple intellection as being that which leads us beyond abstract concepts and eventually to a face-to-face vision of God in the afterlife, that if simple intellection didn't contain more than abstract cognition, we would never get to that ultimate vision of God. That would be impossible. Moreover, this intuitive cognition enables us, as I understand it, and please, I'm not the expert on this, I'm just the responder summarizing, this intuitive cognition in SCOTUS helps us to understand that all significant metaphysics of the univocity of being, this notion of being acquired from creatures, that applies univocally to God and creatures, and lets us see our own selves in relationship to that which is infinite. Moreover, this intuitive cognition in Duns Scotus is far more than that which is purely sensory. It's, as we said, it's an awareness that is known only in and through the judgment itself that presupposes our first act of the intellect. A summary doesn't do justice to the thoughts expressed. Father Peter Damian, in his presentation that attempted to bring Newman and Scotus into dialogue with each other, taking Scotus the metaphysician and Newman the phenomenologist, tried to show the direct connection that Newman himself drew with Scotus by citing that letter of December 1849, as well to Father Faber, as well as Newman's memorandum on the Immaculate Conception, and his this Father Peter tried to demonstrate how the abandonment of Calvinism and its distorted type of predestinationism was paralleled by a deeper embrace in Newman of the type of predestination that Scotus articulated as the unfolding of a plan of divine love. Clarification that Father Peter gave of Wetherby's view that distorted the Newman, Scotus, and Hopkins interplay was very helpful. The final point that I would just like to make in summary is that when we brought our speakers together as a panel, and they heard the questions that we raised during that discussion, Father Peter was asked through the image of the heart as it has come down to us in the tradition from the patristic period, through the scholastic period, through the 17th century, through the time of Scotus to modern times, how that image of the heart was an image that secured the integrity of the human person in our Catholic tradition. And I'm going to my prayers tonight reinforced through the speakers, presenters today with a renewed appreciation for the integrity of the person as put forth in the teachings of Duns Scotus, John Henry Newman, and the tradition that they embodied. Thanks very much.
Thank you for that summary, Father James. Thank you to the panel, to all of you for being here, for your questions. We look to a wonderful, restful evening, some good conversation now before retiring. And we begin in the morning with our presentations here at 9 o'clock. And you can look at our schedule of liturgy earlier for those who are hale and hearty. And we have the main liturgy in the afternoon, and Deacon Jack Sullivan will be our deacon, Father James, our celebrant, and Our newest Assistant General from the Conventuals, Father Jude Winkler, will be the preacher. He's had some dental work today and just asked if he might be excused today, but we're going to see him tomorrow in his very keen, brilliant biblical mind. So I might like your attention for just 1 second, and we'll pray together. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good night.